Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Hour number three of Josh and Swain. Thank you for being with us today. 1 hour to go. Fun first 2 hours of the show. Appreciate our guest, Gerald Riggs Jr., VFL former Tennessee running back. In the first hour, Matt Moscona. Last hour, talking LSU. Both talking Tennessee LSU this upcoming week. Big week ahead for Tennessee. You brought up first Tennessee favored in Baton Rouge. Got to be different for LSU fans this kind of week. Take out Bama games. It has to be an even smaller number of times LSU has somebody come into their house favored to win it.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to use that as motivation. You know, I would. And LSU has had a lot of success in football versus Tennessee in the last couple of meetings. You know, Matt and I joke around about that, give each other crap about it. But, you know, the big games, you know, they've won. You know, mm-hmm. They won in Atlanta in 2007. They've won Atlanta in 2001. The 13 men on the field that happened. So it's time. It's time for Tennessee to get a win against LSU, and this will be a great time to do it versus a coach in Brian Kelly, who is a top five coach in college football, and get an opportunity to kind of, you know, do it on their turf, big time stage again. It's not College Game Day, CBS 330, but you know, I think Tennessee LSU will be the best game in the SEC this weekend.
Yeah, still a matchup of two top 25 teams. LSU, from a branding standpoint, really doesn't take a backseat to anybody.
Nope.
And they've played for championships recently. So when you think about recruits, you know, they just saw Joe Burrow's team a few years ago. They remember LSU winning a national championship. So Tennessee winning in Baton Rouge, that's another headline grabber.
Yeah, Tennessee is looking at this like, hey, man, we have a chance to beat a program that's been very successful. I mean, they've won championships with three different coaches in the last 15, 20 years. And so they've been super successful. The athletic program, even though they've had drama, they've been able to bounce back a whole lot quicker than, you know, most college football programs and most programs, period, in the athletic department. So if you're Tennessee, you say, hey, man, we can get a win against a respectable program. If you're LSU, you're saying, hey, we got an opportunity to knock off a top 10 opponent in Tennessee. Has Tennessee been great the last five, six, 7 years, decade? No, but right now this team – is a top 10 team. We have an opportunity to get a signature win, and this is an opportunity for Brian Kelly to get a signature win in his first year at LSU.
Yeah, it matters to them too. Yeah, think about the flip side. Brian Kelly's going to say, hey, we just beat a top 10 team in my first year. We've won five straight. We're 5-1. They'll move way up in the polls if they beat Tennessee.
Well, Brian Kelly, and this is what Matt Moscona said, that you know he's getting buy-in from his players. A win versus Tennessee at home will mean they would – have more buy-in. Mm-hmm. The belief level will go up a whole lot more. When the belief level goes up, it's a lot easier to coach your players, to teach them. They're going to listen to you even more. And now you might have even more results when that buy-in level goes up. So if you're Tennessee, you can't allow for LSU to use you to build their program with Brian Kelly's first season.
Jeremy sent us a message, says, I live in Louisiana. I've been wearing orange since Sunday at church. I'm getting no trash talk. The LSU fans are scared.
Oh, I like it. I like that. I like it. Well, I mean, realistic football fans who are LSU fans know that their team's not that great.
Yeah, they've seen great LSU teams. Yeah. This isn't a great LSU team. They have really good talent on the roster, but this is not 2019 LSU.
It's the reason why Brian Kelly's in his first year, mm-hmm. right? It's the reason why they went out and got a different coach. It's because the results didn't match the recruiting that has went on down there for years upon years upon years. Will they be good? Yeah, they'll be better than they are right now. But if you're Tennessee, you got an opportunity to beat a program that has a recognizable brand, probably a top five job in America, and do it on the road. Do it on the road in a hostile environment. Matt said that it won't be 100,000 people like it is for 8 o'clock games, night games, but there'll be a nice crowd. But you have an opportunity to go on the road in the SEC. This is the first time. Like, we went to Pitt.
Not the same.
It ain't the same. It ain't the same at all. Like, these fans, they're built different in the SEC. So this will be the first hostile environment for our freshmen and some of our players who transferred in. Like Brew McCoy, this is his first. And he's been in the, you know, college football a long time. But he has not faced anything like he's going to face this weekend in Baton Rouge. So it's a great opportunity, great test for our football team.
We'll talk more football coming up, 865-656-9900, for you to be a part of the show. Tennessee Basketball Media Day today as well. So Rick Barnes' team getting close to the start of the season. They've started practice Media Day today. You'll hear from plenty of basketball Vols, coach, players coming up.
Man, not long before we see Tennessee take on Gonzaga October the 28th.
This is really cool. Yeah.
Man, it's the 4th already. So we're 3 weeks and a few days away from Tennessee playing against one of the most respected college basketball programs in America. So Tennessee, over the last couple of years, Rick Barnes, man, we've had those freshman phenoms coming in and really have high expectations, maybe being one and done, and this year is no different. We got some transfers. We got some freshman guys coming in that can play day one. Looking forward to the basketball season. I'm enjoying football season. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
I'm not a Kentucky fan or anything. I'm enjoying football season.
Right.
But this basketball program has been really fun to watch over the years, and I think this season is going to be the same as it was or has been the last couple of years.
I see on the Vol Hoops Twitter account they're having the players today answer fans' questions, and serious questions only, like is a hot dog a sandwich? And you know where I stand on that. Taco is where I believe the hot dog fits category-wise. But they're having some fun over there at Basketball Media Day.
That is a real serious question there. I mean, I don't see how it's not a sandwich, but hey, whatever.
Don't have the audio, but Zakai being asked if he can dunk.
I want to know that answer.
I do too.
I mean, he's athletic, man. He got some big old calf muscles. I know he can get up, but can he get up over the rim?
Yeah, that's the most important part of that question. So Tennessee basketball coverage coming as well. You'll find it on our website. And as the week goes along, big football week, though. So that'll, of course, be the focus. Even basketball, I'm sure they'll be spending a lot of time focusing on the football game on Saturday. Let's say hello to Jacob on Josh and Swain. Jacob, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to get y'all's take on Hendon Hooker's chances to actually win the Heisman Trophy. Do you view Hendon Hooker as a legitimate Heisman hopeful? And when do you think his Heisman moment will be? Could it be this Saturday? Will it be against Alabama, Georgia? What do you think, if he were to win the trophy, his record would have to be? 11-1, 10-2. How do you guys see it? And why don't we see the campaign from these schools like we used to see, like back in the late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah, the Joey Harrington billboard. Jacob, good questions. Great to hear from you. Thanks a lot for the call. I think he is a very serious candidate. I mean, the odds makers say that before I even do, to be in New York, to win it. There's so much that goes into it, including the team success, as Jacob's asking there. So record-wise, I mean, at least 10-2, I would say. And if there's going to be a Heisman moment, so big play, big moment in the game, I would say versus Bama or Georgia would be your best shot. The biggest stage you can possibly have. And you know, if they're 11-1, so that means beating one of those at least, then I think he's a very real candidate to win it. But there's a lot that goes into trying to do that. I'm more comfortable saying he's a real candidate to be there at the ceremony.
Yeah, New York.
Win it, that takes some extra doing.
I don't remember the last time we've seen the Heisman Trophy ceremony and the Heisman moment was in October. Mm-hmm. Like, when I think about Heisman moments, I'm thinking later in the season when the field is kind of dwindled down to about 4 or 5. There's a big game in November. And I'm looking at the Georgia game that's on the 5th. That's going to be the opportunity, I think, for Hendon. Tennessee plays Missouri the 12th of November. You play at South Carolina, and then you play at Vanderbilt to close out the season. Like, ain't nobody thinking about Hendon Hooker versus Vanderbilt. But if you're a Heisman Trophy you know, candidate. It's going to be Georgia. That game is going to be Hendon's opportunity, and hopefully Tennessee's in a position from a record, a win-loss record standpoint, where eyeballs will be on Hendon. You played Kentucky the week before, so you have a big game against Alabama and then a big game against Kentucky. There's going to be all the eyeballs, I think, on Hendon Hooker in Tennessee in that Georgia game. And if he performs well, I don't see how he doesn't go to New York. Bryce Young was banged up against Arkansas. That shoulder continues to – if it continues to be a problem, then that's good for Hendon. You look at C.J. Stroud and what he's doing at Ohio State. Like, his numbers are better right now, and he's throwing it all over the yard, has – the receivers, and
their record is likely to stay there. Stroud was my preseason.
Yeah, and their record will be good because they don't play anybody, right, in the Big Ten. So I think that's going to be Hendon's probably biggest competition.
Can I interject here real quick? One thing that might work in Hendon's favor, and because you were asking, you know, the last time you had a Heisman moment, September, October, if you remember Lamar Jackson, he was kind of a wire-to-wire winner in 2016. But his big moment that put him on the map was when he single-handedly annihilated Florida State in mid-September. And Louisville did not end the season well. Jackson got sacked 10 times in a loss to Houston, and then he committed 4 turnovers in a loss to Kentucky, and he still won the Heisman Trophy. Now, there wasn't another runaway favorite, but kind of like what you were saying, if Bryce Young is a little banged up, if C.J. Stroud maybe fizzles out and doesn't have a large moment, I do agree there needs to be a bigger moment, but I think Hendon has already had at least a spark to his candidacy with the Florida performance, and he's probably going to need to do more. But I do think that there's that possibility where even if Tennessee goes 10-2 or 9-3, if Hooker's putting up really consistent numbers, there's that possibility if nobody else is able to seize it and run away with it, that could still keep him in the mix. So that there's at least that one semi-comparable recent memory with Lamar Jackson having his big moment early in the season.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Like it was so obvious that Lamar was like the best player in college football. He could have those bad moments later in the year and his team not play or not be that great. They was 8-4 that season. But C.J. Stroud's going to be – like he's going to have good stats. He's going to have good stats. They're going to have a good record. So he's going to have to beat out C.J. Stroud. But that's a really, really good point by you, Joel, because I think Lamar Jackson is the exception to the rule.
Yeah, Lamar had 5,000 yards that season. Like he was a monster.
He was unbelievable. He was hurling people – taking it the distance, had 80, 70-yard runs, spin moves. I mean, it was like a video game. It was like Reggie Bush playing quarterback. So if Hendon can do what he did against Florida again this week and again the week after that, then, yeah, like I think Hendon's going to put himself in position to be in New York and maybe win. But I do think Hendon has to do it a little bit differently than Lamar, and it has to be done against Georgia a little bit later on in the season.
Yeah, like Lamar could have maybe won it just on his running stats. He had over 1,500 yards and 20 touchdowns. And then you throw in 3,500 passing yards.
Yeah.
It was an insane all-time season.
Like in the last 20 years, probably Lamar Jackson and Reggie Bush probably were like the runaway favorites at this point of the season. Like what they were doing on Saturday, it was like a highlight reel. And I'm probably speaking more so to Lamar than Reggie, but I've never seen someone win the Heisman that early in the season like Lamar Jackson did the year Joel was talking about.
We'll come back. Jacob, thanks for the question. It is a good one, and he is on the radar for sure. We'll come back. Attaboys to hand out here on Josh and Swain. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports at 2:30 right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain, thank you for being with us. Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports, coming up at 2:30. We're here until 3 o'clock when Sports Talk will take over. Thank you for being with us, wherever you're listening, wherever you're watching the show. Remember to stop by the YouTube page as we continue to add to the content feed for you. Subscribe when you stop by. Get those notifications when we go live. You can watch live and listen on demand anywhere you listen to podcasts. As we continue here for another 35 minutes on Josh and Swain, right now we hand out today's Attaboys.
I just wanted to come by and congratulate you on the great work you've been doing.
I like your style. You remind me of a young me.
Failure is not an option.
That boy is good.
Holmes, remind yourself. Nobody built like you. You design yourself.
Attaboy.
presented by Native Design and Hardscape. With that, a boy segment, we look at the good, shine a light on the positivity every single day here on the show. And a couple stories to share, including Joe Burrow. Big fan of Joe Burrow. What he's done is terrific player. I think he's still one of the best young quarterbacks in the NFL with an incredible future. He's already been in the Super Bowl. But maybe even more impressive is the work he does off the field and how he gives back, because I think it's meant a lot to him. And today he announced the launch of the Joe Burrow Foundation, a nonprofit foundation to help meet the needs of underprivileged and underserved families in Ohio and Louisiana, where he, of course, played college football, who are working to overcome food insecurity and childhood mental health issues. I applaud that effort, Joe Burrow.
Perfect match. Joe Burrow from Ohio being drafted by Cincinnati. He has opportunity to do what LeBron has done throughout his career. And that's just impacting Ohio residents in a huge way. Now, Joe Burrow is not big as LeBron, but he has a great opportunity to do some great things. I mean, he's humble, super successful, laid back. And I mentioned before, he's from Ohio. It's a perfect, perfect match. But a huge Joe Burrow fan, and wish him nothing but the best. But this is nothing surprising with Joe Burrow, man. He's just outstanding.
Yep, totally. So attaboy to Joe Burrow. And then we had this story shared with us by a listener, which we really appreciate. And I haven't seen the young man's name, which maybe makes sense. He's a high schooler. But the story was shared by Coach Lenny Williams in Atlanta, the story of a young man who's a junior. He's been cut from the basketball three times, his freshman year, his sophomore year, and then cut during the summer. And according to his coach, he rides his bike to school each day. He's never complained during conditioning. He's continued to come back to workouts, continued to try to be a part of the team. And the coach said in the speech to the team, "This guy is a winner. He's a winner in life, and I want him to be a part of my team. If I'm going to preach doing things the right way, how can I not reward someone who does that? So he gets the spot on my team. Attaboy for the work put in, because he earned it."
Love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it. Love stories like that. Love stories like that. At first, it don't go for you. Just keep working. Bust through. Bust through those doors. Keep working. And that's exactly what he did. I love it.
We hand out attaboys every day here on Josh and Swain. Attaboys and attagirls, shining a light on the positivity. We'll find it for you each day, we promise. Every day, thanks to Native Design and Hardscape. If you need help with outdoor space at your home, outdoor space at your business, Native Design and Hardscape can help you turn your backyard dreams into reality. Whatever you need done, they'll take care of you. Go see the work that they've done, nativetn.com. Schedule a consultation today with Native Design and Hardscape. We'll have time for more calls and texts before the show ends. 865-656-9900 to connect and be a part of the show. Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports will join us when we come back. He wrote about one of the wildest stories we've seen in sports. We'll cover some football with him as well when we come back on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us. 30 minutes to go until Sports Talk takes over. We'll get back to calls and texts before this show ends. Right now, you hear that music coming in, and it means it's time to welcome to the show Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports. Jay, we appreciate the time, as always, and want to get to some football with you, but I read your story today, which went into great detail, shared some fun quotes, and the video link as well. One of the wildest stories that I've seen, but fishing scandal that kind of rocked the world this past week.
Fishing, yes. All of a sudden, on College Football Saturday, everybody was talking about fishing. So, yeah, if you weren't on Twitter on Saturday, there was an incident during a fishing tournament when some guys brought in some suspiciously heavy fish. This was up in Cleveland. And the tournament organizer cut the fish open, and lo and behold, there were lead weights and also bits of other fish, like actual fish fillets, inside these fish to make them weigh more. And, yeah, it was a huge scandal, but it was also kind of a hilarious one, too. So I was so intrigued by this that I dug deep on it. There's going to be criminal charges against these guys. It's a big story in the sense that this wasn't just like a small-time deal. There are hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake in these big fishing tournaments. And so it ended up being a lot bigger story than just a couple of goofballs stuffing their fish with lead.
Yeah, because there were suspicion around these guys from previous tournaments. So finally, as they were being recognized as the top weight with their fish at this most recent tournament. I think the guy with he was doing the announcing right that was immediately suspicious and knew that that size fish should not be that weight. Cut it open, and there it was. And then, by the way, the scene afterward could have been potentially dangerous for those guys. I think one had taken off.
Yeah, I mean, the way that these things work is that the team that wins, you know, obviously knocks everyone else down a peg, and so you're basically taking money out of the pockets of the guys that didn't win if you cheat to win. And so, yeah, as one person put it to me, if there hadn't been cops there, there would have been scraps of those guys right next to the scraps of the fish. So it was potentially a very ugly scene, but it is now in the hands of the courts at this point.
Wow, that's like college football.
I know. In some cases, it's like the most interesting stuff has nothing to do with what's going on the field. It's what's happening around it. I mean, you know, no one's interested in sitting and watching a guy fish, but a dude brings up a fish with lead weights in it. I mean, that's much more fascinating. So, yeah, you're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, Jay, you've covered college football. You've covered NASCAR, where there is actually an expression, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. But I think you had the quote in there. This is the biggest story I recall in the fishing world, the competitive fishing world, and it then revolves around scandal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way that it always is. And the biggest story isn't about the coach that goes and leads his team to an 8-4 season. The biggest story is the coach that completely gets overpaid and then cannot figure out how to make his team win more than 3 games in a year, just to pick a totally hypothetical example from some of this year's coaching crop.
We talking about Jimbo Fisher, or what are we doing? Yeah,
you know, we could go with a bunch, couldn't we? We could go with Jimbo, we could go with Mel Tucker, we could go with Scott Frost, we could go, you know, there's all kinds of people. So, yeah, but Jimbo's probably the one that is under the microscope right now.
This spring, the Bama-Texas A&M game was supposed to be the game that everyone should be paying attention to this week, but we're not. And the reason why is because A&M just hasn't been that good. And
yeah,
it's just so weird that someone with so many resources, someone that has won a national championship, someone that's recruiting at a very, very high level with a $70-plus million buyout, that there's boosters contemplating buying them out. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, any booster that's contemplating buying them out, I mean, probably needs to do a few hours at a food bank or something like that to get back in touch with the concept of actual real world uses for money. But beyond that, you're exactly right. I mean, what happened? Why is Jimbo not succeeding? Is it an offensive problem? Is it a defensive problem? Is it the recruits not panning out? I mean, I think it's all of the above. And you're right. I mean, back in April or whenever this all blew up, I had this weekend coming up circled on my calendar. I was going to be in Tuscaloosa. We're going to do a whole big feature and everything. And then A&M just kind of sputtered. And so, I mean, game day's in Kansas this week. I think that the SEC, where are they? They're somewhere else. I'm not sure where they are, but they're not in, I think they're in Arkansas, but they're not going to be in Tuscaloosa. It's like the game has kind of fallen off the map. It's going to be a CBS game, but it certainly doesn't have all of the weight that it had when it was coming in, or when all the hype was going on this spring.
Jay Busby is with us, Yahoo Sports, and arguably the top SEC matchup when you look at two ranked teams. Tennessee's in Baton Rouge, not chosen by CBS. It's going to be an early game with ESPN, but 11 a.m. local kickoff. Tennessee's unbeaten, top 8, LSU into the top 25. What do you think? Early game down there in Baton Rouge, but Tennessee going to take on Brian Kelly's team.
Yeah, I think this is going to be, if they could go and smack Brian Kelly's team around, and I fully expect that they will, I think this is going to be the last time that Tennessee gets one of those non-marquee slots for the rest of the season until they stumble. I mean, this is a Tennessee team that's really coming on strong in every aspect of the game. It's going to make the Tennessee-Alabama game next week that much more fun. So it's the kind of thing where this is exactly what you want. You're ramping up, you're peaking at the right time. You're getting kind of the right level ups. If this were a video game, they're working their way up to Alabama. And so I think that this is the kind of thing that you want to see. And, yeah, Tennessee is as well prepared as it has been in 15, 20 years to take this on.
What's been the biggest surprise for you in college football?
You know, I think that A&M would be way up there. A&M and Oklahoma, these kind of blue chip schools just kind of not – coming through in the way that they should. I mean, we knew that Alabama was going to be good. We knew that Georgia was going to be good. Clemson is kind of finding its footing. It's just when you have these teams that fall off so suddenly and so quickly, that's what's really surprising, given they have so many resources and so much available to them. We were looking at A&M and Oklahoma as being on the outside edges of the playoff, and they've both fallen off the map already.
Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports. In the NFL, there's no quarterback controversy with the Cowboys, is there? It looks like another week to go before Dak's able to come back. But I also recognize, Jay, I'm asking you about the Cowboys.
Oh, yes, I know. It's okay. The Cowboys, we do have a little bit of, and I'm sure that you have the same sort of kind of go-to teams that you can, no matter what, if you put right about them. We used to have a running joke that if we put Tim Tebow or Kobe Bryant or the Dallas Cowboys in the headline, we would always get people clicking on it no matter what. You could add in certain former presidents to that as well. So, yeah, you're always going to talk about the Cowboys. But to this specific topic, Jerry Jones insists that there's no quarterback controversy, that he's not worried about Dak Prescott coming back. And I don't think there is. They've been the beneficiary of some really strong play across the board. But this is a make-or-break year for the Cowboys. This is kind of the far edge of their window as their contract situation is set up. So I think that Dak's going to be fine once he comes back. And as long as Cooper Rush can keep the Cowboys within striking distance of that playoff spot, I mean, the Eagles might be out of reach for a division, but a playoff spot is still very much in play. So, yeah, it's not a quarterback controversy yet, but then suppose Dak comes back and he struggles, then you might hear some rumbling because nobody's very patient down in Big D.
Well, which play has been the most surprising? Has it been Jalen Hurts, his play from the pocket, or has it been Lamar Jackson, his play from the pocket? Both guys were criticized about their accuracy throwing the football coming into the league.
Yeah, that's when you want to go. And I'm normally not a big fan of the whole, freezing takes, exposed kind of tweeting. Everybody makes dumb statements now and then on Twitter. But when people are so defiant and so definitive about a player like Lamar Jackson, or even to a lesser extent, Jalen Hurts, it's like these guys played where they played for a reason, and they did what they did for a reason. They succeeded the way that they did for a reason. And so I guess in terms of most surprising, it would probably be Hurts. We didn't know that he had that extra gear that he seems to have found. We knew that Lamar Jackson was great, guy's an MVP. But we didn't quite know that Hurts actually had this extra level that he's found. And so that's great to see. I'm always in favor of seeing players step up, unexpected players step up and find something new in themselves. And he works perfectly for the Philadelphia Eagles offense. The way that he doesn't have to be the man because they have so many different weapons and that defense is so smothering that he's able to play within himself and move up slowly in a way that Lamar Jackson certainly does not. So Jackson is just so much fun to watch because he's one of those players like Michael Vick used to be back in the early 2000s where you never know what's going to happen on a snap, but it's going to be something that you haven't seen before. So, yeah, both of those guys are tremendous fun to watch.
Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports. If you have not seen the story we began the conversation with, we'll link to it at Josh and Swain so you can read what Jay had to write about the phishing scandal that has rocked the world. Swain, clickbait is what I described it as. Clickbait.
Brutal.
I was waiting on dad joke today. There it is.
Yeah. We could go way down the line with fishing jokes and gags there. So, it was a fun story, and I think that the only sad thing about the story, aside from the fact that the people that may or may not have lost their money, is that like we say, it puts the focus on a sport in a negative light. All know, we have our favorite sports. NASCAR doesn't like it when the crashes are highlighted. But this is the same sort of thing. It's what interests people who are not a part of the sport.
Yeah. Well, they caught these guys hook, line, and sinker, so we can feel good about that.
How many of you have written down there right by you? I'm going to reel him in with this next question. How many of those do you have sitting there right next to you?
Oh, you're asking for it, Jay. You're asking for it.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh, tell Jay where you keep those dad jokes.
In the database, of course, Jay Busby.
Oh, man.
In the database, the only place. Yahoo Sports, read the story despite my shenanigans. Jay, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports.
I didn't know what y'all was talking about at first. Fishing. I was like, do I need to change my passwords or something? what are we talking about here? Like, did my email?
This is old school phishing scandal.
Yeah, I didn't know what y'all was talking about. I was like, man, I know I changed my passwords to my email. Like, oh, you're talking real fish. What, he put weights in the fish? Oh, yeah, this is definitely college football cheating. This is over and beyond cheating. I'm ready for that 30 for 30. Maybe a Netflix special in a couple of years.
Yeah, move aside, McGuire and Sosa.
Wow. Man, the things people do to get an edge. It's crazy. That is crazy.
Couldn't be us. We'll come back. Final segment coming up. A few more calls, texts to get in. Hanging out, having a good time. We're here in the studio furnished by Office Furniture Outfitters, making us comfortable, making us look a little bit better on the live screen.
Yeah, authorized Herman Miller dealer, 1727 Grand Avenue's address, right there on campus. 865-524-3003 is their telephone number. Office Furniture Outfitters, Jim Burns and the crew, take care of you.
Final segment of Josh and Swain coming up next on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Thanks for hanging out with us today. Swain, we have to wish Junior Vol Abigail a happy 8th birthday. She and her mother, lifetime Vol fans. Her father is an LSU fan, according to Abigail's grandfather, who texted us. So happy birthday to Abigail. Keep fighting the good fight this week.
That's right. Happy birthday. Yeah, that's awesome. She listening?
Better be.
I mean, school is out.
Yeah.
The school is out for like the last 5 minutes. So happy birthday,
First
Abigail.
Thing you do when you get in the car.
That's right.
Turn on Josh and Swain.
That's right.
That's Luke pointed parenting. Out, since Josh and Swain started up, Tennessee football hasn't lost a game.
Ooh, good point.
Yep.
Good point. Hey, man, numbers don't lie.
Welcome, Tennessee fans.
That's right. That's right. What happens if Tennessee loses this week?
We won't speak of it.
Good idea.
Keep it moving.
That's a good idea.
Point the finger, blame others.
Man, you sound like a politician.
That'll be part of it. So we were asked if Tennessee wins, could game day come back?
They should, but they won't. There's going to be other good games that weekend too, but Tennessee wins, it'd be a top five matchup potentially. Like, game day should be here. Everyone should have every eyeball on Knoxville, but
Guess SEC Nation.
Yeah.
Be my
Somebody guess. Will be here. It should be game day. It should be everyone, but no, we live in a society where, you know, everyone gets a trophy. You know, you can't live out the other schools. Whatever.
Hey, let's work in Mike's call here on Josh and Swain. Hey, Mike, thanks for hanging through there. Good afternoon. What's on your mind today?
Hey, didn't think I was going to get through there. I figured we're going to run out of time.
You count
here,
on us, Mike.
You in here.
Okay. First, I'd like to say congratulations to UT for hiring Josh Heupel, the best hiring that they've made. Well, their basketball coach, Rick, has done a fantastic job. That was a great hire, too. But that is the best football hire they've made since, well, they hired Johnny Majors and then transitioned to Phil Fulmer. Okay, a question about the Tennessee Titans. I was listening to one of the Jets guys that cover the Jets, and he was saying that there was a problem with he said at times the offense and or the defense would be on hiatus, and so they asked him something about the special teams, and he said, well, special teams don't make that much difference, because if the offense and the defense can't get it together at the same time, then special teams are kind of relegated to a whole lot of nothing. Do you think Tennessee is in that same category?
Special teams is a third of the football game. I mean, it's important. We've seen teams win. We've seen teams lose just on special teams. I mean, Tennessee put themselves in a position to almost lose because of special teams against Pittsburgh. So, it's vital. It is very, very, very vital, in my opinion.
Yeah, special teams can swing the game back your direction if one of those other phases has not lived up to its side of things.
I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Mike. We appreciate the call. We got to run with the power poll coming up in just a moment, but we do appreciate the call and appreciate you being patient to hang on with us here as we say hello to John Wilkerson at a Sports Talk in just a few minutes. John, hello. How are you?
Doing quite well. Down here at Pratt Pavilion, it's been a blast with Media Day, but just trying to catch up to the fun you guys are having.
We're trying. Basketball team. Excited, I know. Just a few weeks ago, they have that that game that was announced with Gonzaga. So we're getting closer. By the way, the answer, Olivier Kumwa provided the answer to the question on Twitter, can Zakai Ziegler dunk? Olivier said, of course he can.
Of course? Okay, without a doubt. I'm going to see it then.
Yeah, something along those lines. So why would you doubt it? Hey, Zakai John said that he'll be flying above the rim soon. Look forward to it.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. It's coming soon.
Sports talk coming soon. Before that, we hit today's power poll.
Captain, we're losing power on the warp engine.
Nuclear power pants.
What's up? I'm Kenny Powers.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
I have the power!
With great power comes great responsibility.
Full power, Mr. Scott.
Alrighty, John. Last night, the San Francisco 49ers beat up on the LA Rams. Who'd you pick in that game?
I picked the losing team.
Oh.
I'm not picking Matthew Stafford again. I'm done with Matthew Stafford.
Who'd your co-host pick?
You picked the winning team, man. You know, broke clock is right twice a day.
Well, good to be right. John, we'll see who's right here. Top five NFL teams now that 4 weeks already behind us. Would you like to lead us off the Power Poll presented by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union?
Why, sure. And it's funny because on the NFL show, we do top five and we do bottom five. This team was in my bottom five after week one because I thought, hey, they just lost their quarterback. Where can they go from here? But I've got Dallas at number five. I've been impressed with what the Cowboys have done in their three games without Dak, and now he might be back in time to take on Swain's favorite quarterback, Matthew Stafford. Number four, I go Green Bay. Number three, Buffalo. Number two, Kansas City. And number one, because they are the lone unbeaten, Philadelphia.
How about those Eagles flying high in the NFL? Swain, your top five NFL teams after 4 weeks?
Packers five, unfortunately. I'm going with the Ravens, even though they're 2-2. Tough, tough loss to the Bills. And I'm going with the Bills number three, Chiefs two, and Eagles number one.
Alrighty, not a lot of differentiation. Honorable mention to the Raiders with their win this past weekend.
Raiders, started in last, finished in last. How about that?
About? They just won a game to not be the only team to be defeated.
It's an honorable
mention. They don't deserve a mention.
Fourth place on Saturday.
Honorable.
Fourth place on Monday. The win was huge.
Where's my Raiders helmet? Get that honorable mention stuff out of here, especially the Raiders. They don't deserve a mention.
Should we mention the passing game of the Chicago Bears? Number five on my list.
Don't do that.
Baltimore, number four, the Green Bay Packers. I feel like 4 and 5 are going to be fluid for a while. Top three might be hanging around the top for a while. Buffalo, number three. Kansas City, number two. Philadelphia, number one. So we are all in agreement, a sweep in spots 1, 2, and 3. That is the Power Poll every day. It's presented by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, your less red tape banking alternative.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.